Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Live from the Mile High City, it's The Press Box here on Go Mile High. Marty Dark with you, joined with my dear friends, and we're going to get their takes here in just a moment. Caleb, Squirrel. Squirrel is in costume early for Halloween. And, of course, Carlos is joining us. We got headlines out there, but we are in the midst of a sports feast, a sports bonanza. Rarely will you ever see, and hopefully this is a once-in-a-lifetime, this is the COVID-induced, COVID-caused sports feast unlike any other. The NBA Finals start tonight. MLB playoffs started today, yesterday. All-day action, best-of-three series, it's moving along. And then, of course, you have the NFL just getting going. What a blast. We've got headlines in there. We've got to get to everything. Caleb, can you bring us up to speed real quick in the world of hockey?
Yes, so we finally have a Stanley Cup champion, and that will be the Tampa Bay Lightning, a city full of, probably going to be full of champions here pretty soon with Tom Brady and and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then
Tampa Bay, not Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Whatever. And then, yeah. I hear that the Rays are also in the MLB playoffs here, so they have a potential. But, yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup, and Victor Hedman wins the Conn Smythe. I think that's a little controversial there, but he deserves it.
Thank you, sir. You are up to speed in the world of hockey. Of course, we'll be anticipating the resumption of the Avalanche. We've got some sports to get to in the meantime. Carlos, bring us up to speed. A headline for you, please.
Sure. Well, sources out of Philadelphia is that Doc Rivers has been in talks with the 76ers to be their new head coach.
Let me stop you right there, okay? Mm-hmm. The NBA, okay, has been absolutely out on this limb of saying, suggesting the hiring process is incorrect. What in the world is the Philadelphia 76ers doing looking at Doc Rivers, a retread? We've seen him.
Right.
But you hear all these stories about why Steve Nash got a job out of nowhere and he's never coached before. Don't these teams hiring have a huge responsibility to go out and make a statement now since they've told us that the hiring process is incorrect, right? We need fresh blood in the NBA. Why are we always recycling the same old stories there?
Well, I think the Sixers were doing that with new blood, different new coaches, and I think they're just going for a more veteran coach.
Okay, go the safe route. But the idea is they hire a young black assistant who needs that breakthrough in the NBA. That's what they should be doing. I mean, just message to the NBA.
Sure,
that
sure.
would really
I
put a staple
saying.
There. So we'll come back to the NBA because we got NBA Finals starting tonight, and boy, this is going to be a good one, the King.
Yes.
Squirrel, can you give us anything in the moment right now that brings up to speed?
There's a lot of – obviously, there's a whole bunch of sports going on at the moment. The Twins.
Which is good.
The Twins have just been eliminated about 25, 30 minutes ago as we watched Houston, the biggest cheaters on the planet, actually win a fair game, which is nice to see. But, I'm very, very upset that the Twins.
This is a below 500 Astro team
that's
advancing. Think about a team that got off the hook like nobody's business, okay? Before COVID-19, the COVID from hell, the Chinese virus, the thing that's come in and shut down society, the biggest thing on the sports radar was getting after these Astros, these cheaters, the boo birds. They were going to have historic booing everywhere they showed up. They didn't have to do that this year.
No, okay? Lucky. They skipped out.
All those year-long suspensions, guess
It'll be
what?
There next year.
This is their year.
It'll be there next year.
I don't know. Are people going to care enough at that point? I would be surprised if the enthusiasm to make them pay. Now, they go win a World Series this year. There you go. You stick that in the face of the listeners, face of the fan, and say we cheated and got away with it, and now we've won it. It's going to rub people the wrong way. So let's be clear.
The other big thing I wanted to mention is tonight is the big kahuna, ladies and gentlemen, the NBA Finals.
We're going right there. We'll go there
now,
actually.
Oh, we're going right there. Sorry.
We'll go there right now, actually, because I'm actually on the edge of my seat for this one. This is King James. Now, the NBA has told us that this is his year. It was supposed to be his year, and he's going to hoist that potential next championship. The only thing separating him in many people's minds from Jordan is the championships, right? LeBron's been there every year. It's a staple. He's like Tom Brady. You can count on him deep into the playoffs, if not in a championship. Here's a catch. He buzzsaw through the Nuggets. The Nuggets are lacking alpha dog. Put him on my back and shove it down your throat kind of guy. They don't have that. Okay, LeBron is that, and guess what? Jimmy Butler is, and he's going to meet
Denver
one.
Has just seen what a dominant player does in the NFL. You know, you take over basketball games.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for Jokic and Murray to do this, but they have to do it as a combination. They can't go in to a game like LeBron and say, hey, I'm going to take this fourth quarter, I'm going to win a basketball game for us, and that's how it's going to go. And we've seen LeBron do it over
Anthony Davis, he was brought in just for that the reason when he threw that three-pointer, you know, to win the game. I think it was game three or something. He just, like, just knocked the win.
7-foot center just popping threes like nobody's business.
And so he just knocked the sails out of the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. When you have players that do things like that, and then you got Murray, who's over here popping threes for his life. Can't hit
710 minutes.
Can hit one every now and again. Then you got Anthony Davis, 7-foot fella, hits a game winner with no pressure in his mind. So the main thing I just wanted to make sure is people need to understand that the dominance of what one man can do when you have the ability that he does.
You're describing the alpha in him that few have. And so it's not really fair to say, well, you don't have that LeBron next level in you, Jamal. It's very rare. It's very unique. Here's the deal with LeBron. As we saw him early in his career, he was easy to give up the pass. He didn't want that pressure moment. Okay, that was not his thing. He has developed to where the ball goes through him, and he's going to enforce his will on the opponent late. He wants that. He thrives. And he's got a great duo now with Anthony Davis that can support him. Here's the problem with LeBron. As you saw in that series, he had to revert to the bull charge move. All that body, all that frame just barreling down the lane because the jumper wasn't falling. The fadeaway doesn't go. The three, the step back. So guess what? Here's the deal. If that three that is not going, if the fadeaway is not going, the better roster is the Heat. I'm sorry. There's just nobody like.
I was going to say, we're not talking about the Heat.
I think the Heat are probably the best, if not one of the best, three-point shooting teams in this league. And
They lit up Indiana.
So
lit up Indiana. Tyler Herro has come in, and this is a 21-year-old player, Mike.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Who's going to guard Tyler Herro?
They don't. They don't have a response. They don't have a response to run around all that.
So who gets Jimmy Butler? LeBron?
Kind of like he did to Jamal late, where it was time for lockdown.
That's what I think is going to happen, dude. I don't think LeBron's going to really play defense until it's like, hey, we need to shut him down, and LeBron's like, okay, fine, no problem.
I think you're fair there. I think you'll see him be able to be more offensively aggressive than defense, but he will certainly do whatever's needed late if it's close. Here's the catch on the Heat. They're super well-built. They've got the best coach in the NBA, if not number two.
Spoelstra.
He can take any roster and make great out. And you're seeing it happen right now. Mm-hmm. Bam Adebayo.
Adebayo.
Ooh, now you take him against Dwight Howard. You know, the idea
I take Adebayo over
Me too.
Howard.
Because the idea that Dwight Howard is going to duplicate that, replicate that for an entire series is crazy, and Bam's been doing
They just brought Howard in to play defense last series against Joker and Jamal and whoever, and that wasn't even working. Until LeBron said, hey, I got Jamal. I'll take this. We got this series. And you see what happened.
On some Jimmy Butler. Get to your thought. He's going to give us some Jimmy Butler thoughts going into this game, too.
Okay.
Go ahead, Carlos.
No, I was going to say, Howard's also brought in to be the bully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the enforcer. So,
but he's not a bully, though.
He'll foul.
He doesn't play like one.
He'll get the three or four or five, and he might even foul out. It doesn't matter. But
we'll see. They don't feel like underdogs to me, but we're being told that they are. Jimmy Butler, he's in the same state. He doesn't think of them as an underdog. They've been dominant. They're one of the most dominant teams in this postseason.
Yeah.
And then you look at their development of just these young players. I mean, that's a team that's going to be really good for many, many years. This is a young team. You tell me, though, in the crunch time, it's probably LeBron's show, isn't it? If he does it, it's good.
So is LeBron against his old coach?
Yes, Spoelstra. Sir. Absolutely.
So it's like the mentor, teacher, you know, like who knows who better, you know, who's going to change your game plan.
We were talking about this before he hits the – okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let's give me Jimmy Butler, and then let's get a little deeper.
I'm not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here, that's okay. Pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that. Because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and I'm going to see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way, and that way's worked for us all year long.
Jimmy Butler, courtesy of ESPN. When your superstar talks like that, well, you got a lot of confidence. Everybody falls in line. And real quick, and I want to bring Squirrel back in here. The reason Kawhi's watching, the reason Giannis is watching, those aren't alphas. Those are not at all. Mm-hmm. They're watching right now. This is for the cream of the crop and the guys who can say, I can put four guys on my back for the next 3 minutes and get this game tied and moving on. LeBron's going to face an alpha, and it's going to be a good one.
And I think, obviously, everybody knows, you know, LeBron's the alpha male of the NBA. And he's been there for years. We were talking before the show today that what Jimmy Butler has done with this Miami team and come as far as they have, I do believe Jimmy Butler is within the top, you know, three player in the NBA at the moment.
Oh, I'll go for that. He goes up against him, no problem.
I mean, you've seen it when he put up 50, and then you've seen it when he put up 44 the next night, and then 30s, and then still consistently winning basketball games for a very underrated Miami Heat team at the beginning of these playoffs. When they started their 8 games, you know, little stroll to the playoffs, nobody had Miami sitting where they are right now.
When the NBA came back in the bubble, it was just – there was no rankings, you know.
It's hard to rank that.
Same as hockey.
Yeah.
Well, right, Caleb? Same as hockey.
Easily.
I mean, I love my Philadelphia Flyers, but you know what? I didn't picture them being top seed.
I mean, that's why we had that little bracket tournament before the season. But
the round robin.
I mean, in reality, any team could have went and won the Stanley Cup. It just happened to be top seed. So,
when we come back, don't go anywhere. We have MLB playoffs to get knee-deep into. There's some teams that are already done, and it just started. Right back, Go Mile High. I'm Marty Dart.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama. Uh-huh. His laminescence.
Really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah. Because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today. So find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get into the MLB playoffs. You know, they're starting in a very unusual format here this year, again, for COVID times and time sensitivity. Started yesterday, best of three series. There's no days off. And we'll move right into the World Series where we'll get a little bit more bubble experience and single locations. I'm so sorry. This is for the Minnesota Twins, 18 straight.
Mm-hmm.
How can this be? I mean, they're gone again, and they're to the worst. Okay, you've got the A's that just went fine.
Honestly, I want to say this. They played Houston. Now, let's not, obviously, we all know about the cheating scandal. We don't have to go there. But I'm not going to say that they don't have talent on the roster. Let's be honest. Yeah, all their stuff is, you know, dropped down because they can't predict a fastball anymore, which, okay. Yeah, obviously your batting average is going to go down when you don't know what pitch is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So to take it away, I mean, Altuve's still a banger.
They weren't very good
Correa,
this so far.
Not the season, but you got to remember, these guys – are 4 to 5 years straight in these playoffs with this near same team. So I'm not saying they cheated every year, but I'm saying is every year, are we going to take every year they've been in the playoffs to say, ah, they were cheaters? But I think they still have talent. They still can play baseball. And we can see they just beat one of the best teams in baseball at the moment. Go ahead, Caleb.
So first things first, I want to actually kind of backtrack here and talk about the format. And personally,
just three games.
Yeah, I actually like this format a little bit better than their original format.
For the wild card?
Yes.
What about for first place?
You don't like first place? You're talking about the one and done, the play in.
No, I don't like the play in. Right. I don't like that wild card.
The one game plot. Okay,
yeah, okay. I don't like this. I like this setup better. I like that everybody's playing from the beginning. This is probably how they should have done it from the beginning, but I definitely like this format better. Now, going secondly back to your thought, isn't this kind of in a regular season, after about 60 games are played, isn't this where teams start figuring things out, getting better?
They were talking about
start connecting.
A lot of teams need 50 to 60 games to get warm.
Yeah,
here
exactly.
Even you know you don't just walk out week through two or three and start just hitting bombs and getting your batting is just not what it is.
So even though the Astros have technically a below 500 record here, this could be a team that
they're getting warm.
They could go all the way, and
right.
We could see this for a lot of teams. I mean, we see the Marlins today. They're the underdogs in this playoffs.
They're winning 5-1.
Yeah,
that game is final now. Miami goes and wins
5-1. Yep.
But Houston, I mean, the first leadoff guy, Springer, 0-0. Yep. Altuve, 4-0.
Minnesota was beating them 1-0 all the way to the eighth inning last night. Bottom of the ninth. Here comes Houston. Four runs, dude.
4-0.
What's I mean?
Yeah. Bergman, 3-1. Yeah.
Back to what was Caleb saying with the format and everything. I think it is just it's experience at this moment, dude. Tampa and the Dodgers have to play a three game series. Yep. They're not even guaranteed. Just because you had the number one seed anymore doesn't even mean you can skip by the first round.
Well, good point, Squirrel, because see in baseball the idea is it's so hard to get to the playoffs that getting there you're in the thing.
Now you still have to struggle to get to the next round.
If you have two tough games in a row, you're done. And that 40 plus win season of the Dodgers is worthless.
Cincinnati was I think probably the hottest team in baseball coming into the playoffs. Am I wrong?
I think a lot of people would like to say
they were a
especially
trendy
if you're not a team that makes it in often. I think you would like to say, man, at least I'm guaranteed two games.
Well, you got a shot. Yeah. I think the one for baseball, because it's not a one game all. That's it's why we're not playing 162 football games. It's a collection of games.
But
so
with this three game, you lose the first game, you're in hot water, dude.
Yes, you are.
Automatically.
You know what I'm saying? You lose two, you're done.
But you know what? Let's strip all that aside because you got the COVID season underway. So this is that once in a lifetime. Let's have a little fun. Of course, this is an Astros championship. There's no way you can say that the best thing. Now, Yankees they woke up at game 61.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, dude, they destroyed the best pitcher in baseball last night.
He didn't look like
himself. I bet $10 that it was a plus 540 odd that Aaron Judge was going to hit a home run last night. I took
sweet
it.
Play.
Second pitch of the game, Aaron Judge went yard
on
Shane Bieber.
And the game was over.
We put up
shell-shocked
they
him.
Put up 8 runs on Shane Bieber. I'm talking the best pitcher in baseball today, won the Triple Crown.
Yeah. Seven earned runs were what he allowed in the season.
ERA, strikeouts, everything. And like we've been talking about, it doesn't matter, dude. It's who's hot now.
Yeah.
I don't care if the Dodgers were the best team regular season. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Can the Dodgers play right now?
Yep.
You know you're not going to get – well, we were promised the Yankees and the Dodgers, right? And we should get that still, right? You do see things like San Diego. They're trailing in hot water, yeah, like you said, here against St. Louis. Okay, so we're going to see a whole – mix a shuffle in this tournament. That's the beauty. It has the NCAA's a sort of process to it as well, where a little nothing team, a sub 500 team, is making disturbances.
You get a 2 seed, beat a 15.
That's right. Yeah. That's what we're looking at. And obviously, we know we're still looking for that elusive 116 that we got finally. But they're very rare. They're diamonds in the rough. Baseball wise, so we just move forward simply into the next round as we get a little bit better and better clarity. I'm wondering. Playoff baseball, of course, we have still no fans. Baseball energy. To me, when I sit at home, and, you know, the Rockies are just, they gave us the amazing 2007 season. I tell you, being a fan of a World Series, I couldn't imagine having an always competitive baseball team. The energy connected with a playoff run and a World Series run in baseball is special. It's dynamic.
You should just be a Yankee fan.
Well, exactly. But then, you know, it's hard to
Until they get knocked out.
In the city, you know, wouldn't it be great live in Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City, if the Rockies were one of these teams that were always sort of on the cusp of breaking through that World Series? That's not the case here.
It would be nice, but
well, we'll be promised here pretty soon, and I have a dear friend who reminded me of this. The Mumfords will come out in January and tell us that they're contending, they're going to do what it takes, and then we'll settle back down to this sort of 500. We've been promised that before, we've been burned before, but check it out. We have no fans in the arenas, in the stadiums, in the ballparks for these playoffs. Do you still feel the same about playoff baseball? There's no fans.
Well, Tampa Bay is used to not having
fans.
That's
true. They set the model. You're right. Good point.
I'm trying to say Tampa's
up until
to
this year.
Not selling
up
tickets.
Up until this year.
I mean, in true. General,
yeah,
baseball?
And now ticket sales in Tampa went sky high because they got to pay Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, baseball doesn't have the huge crowd numbers as they usually in the regular season. Now, in the playoffs, they do.
Well, they make up for it with 195,000 games, so it just doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. But I think these guys are kind of used to the low crowd noise in that sense. But yes, you need that playoff intensity. Supposedly we're supposed to have fans in the conference round and then the finals. We'll see how that goes.
But just
it'll
like
be hard to
when the Rockies were, you know, in 2007 when they swept the Phillies, you know, to get it.
I do gotta ask.
So there was every fan wearing a brand new jersey.
Oh, of course.
I gotta ask though. Does a full baseball stadium of fans have the same pull that a football,
yes,
or a basketball,
yes, it is. Every pitch becomes pressure packed. The moment is so large.
I'll go with you on. I'll agree with that.
We're coming right back for Broncos football. This is Go Mile High live from the campus.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah, I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
There's so much speculation swirling around the team about your fate. I mean, how do you not, you must hear some of it, and how do you process that?
It's something, Rich, I can't focus on that. It's wasted energy for me. It's not going to help me at all. All I can do is make sure I get our guys in the right headspace to go out there on Thursday and play well. And it started last night with our meetings going over, hey, here's how we're going to play this game. Here's who was available to us. Go do our walkthrough. Do the same thing today. We got so much stuff we got to get in over the next 2 days to get ready to play this game. That's got to be my focus. If I waste my energy on anything else, it's just counterproductive to what we're trying.
Broncos coach Vic Fangio, Broncos.com. Yeah, pressure's there. He knows it. He feels it. Yeah. He's got a little bit of an out with these injuries, but let's set the scene for week four. NFL starts Thursday night. Broncos in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Now, a team that can't blame everything on injuries, but is dysfunctional, trending down, probably get the First Coast fired. I mean, it's disgraceful that Adam Gase is worth $20 or $30 million and an NFL head coach, and he, the Dolphins a disaster, the Jets a disaster, but here he is just floating right along. It blows me away. But so here's the deal, Vic Fangio I believe is a better coach than him. That should show up Thursday night if they lose to the Jets.
Vic Fangio has also had a lot more to work with, I think, than Adam Gase has.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Gase has had a struggling Miami team for the last 5 years, 10 years, and now he's going with another struggling franchise of the United States of America here in our New York Jets. But, I mean, sometimes a coach doesn't get a fair shake, but they have draft picks. They have things they can do. We've seen great coaches turn franchises around with one draft. Draft.
You said a word there, great coach.
Yeah.
We don't have that here. They don't have that in the Jets. So that's what it takes. So it's not to be misunderstood.
Rex Ryan did it. Rex Ryan went to New York, changed, turned the Jets around. Am I wrong? He turned it around in 1 year, though. That's what I mean. The Jets were like 2-14. And they went and they won the division next year against.
Didn't win the division, but they did go to the playoffs and go to the AFC Championship.
And they challenged New England they hadn't been recently. But I wouldn't ride home and say that was they're free and clear in Jetland because it didn't last.
No, but I'm saying he turned the season around though.
Well, okay, sure, absolutely.
I just feel like this head coach in Denver is highly underqualified for this position. I feel like he's a great defensive coordinator, but think about this: 33 years and you don't get promoted up from that position, like that shows like, hey, he's good at this one particular thing, but he can't run an offense, and especially an offense of like what, the average age 25 years old or younger.
Well, not even that, especially the offensive weapons that you have here in Denver.
So when you bring Vic Fangio in here, what you expect is that this defense is so solid, so rock hard, that you don't penetrate it and the offense can catch up.
He can't do much without Von Miller.
Well, Okay, you can.
I mean, he's had a bad year with injuries. So let's be honest.
Totally, but let's not hang the next 5 years, because guess what? Von Miller year over year, it's a slight decline. It always coming down. Yep.
But last year,
especially with old linebackers,
because last year he was asked to do so much of this Vic Fangio defense, because usually he's a 3-4 pass rusher. Last year they switched up to a 4-6 more or less, and they had him doing in coverage. They had him, you know,
he was doing a lot without Bradley Chubb.
Exactly.
Now Bradley Chubb's here, got to do the same work without Von Miller, and I don't think it's going to be the same result.
Bradley Chubb's not going to last. I don't think the Broncos are going to pick up his 5-year option next year.
No?
No.
You think they'll let him go?
Yes.
Well, that's a hefty free agent right there.
Because past 3 years, he started out slow, but he was a rookie. Last year, for the first 3 or 4 games, no sacks, and he gets hurt. This year, first 3 weeks, no sacks. And
no sacks is the only linebacker there, which is crazy.
No sacks. He has no recorded sacks.
Because the one he did record was it was actually just a tackle.
Right.
Because he jumped out of the pocket about a yard or something. So the only sack maybe that he has is actually a solo tackle.
So if we give him a pass on all the injuries and we pretend that that's the only thing holding this team back, how do we go back in and break down the timeout usage, the game management, usage?
Yep,
okay,
yep.
So let's just
Tennessee
be realistic.
Game.
Exactly. When a person is in over their head for a position, and it's on national TV, it becomes abundantly clear. So we've now made two challenging and potentially fatal coaching hires here in Denver, because the VJ experience did not go well, and this one is imploding. Now we've got injuries and COVID to kind of cover it up and hide, but here's the deal. Pride should show up tomorrow night, because this is not a Jets team that's willing to lay down and die for Adam Gase. So technically the Broncos, next man up theory, which is what they're always preaching to us, how do they not go in there and pound them? This is a better team. He's a better coach.
I'm going to tell you why they don't go in and pound them, bro, because ripping. I'm telling you. You got a slew of quarterbacks. You just went and got Bortles. Now he's still on his little hiatus because of the COVID thing. He's got to wait to play. But why are you not starting Driscoll? He's got a lot more experience. He's got starting games under his belt. He had a terrible game last game because he's playing the Pittsburgh defense. They rushed him.
But
they rushed him 75% of plays. They rushed him because they knew he couldn't handle it.
Right. So they bring in Rippon, and he throws a touchdown. But
so just so nobody's confused, this team doesn't change any measurable amount between those two quarterbacks. You're down to number
two, I don't think it
changes
at all.
Exactly. So the point is mute on who they start. It's going to be the attitude and approach of this team. If he claims they got it, we just heard the clip from Broncos.com. He says he's got them ready. He started last night with the meetings, intensity. Let's see it. Let's see that go. Because skill-wise, besides this game, you're going to be the underdog every time. You're not going to be as talented. And then you're always almost, except for this game, although Adam Gase may be a better game manager because he's been doing it a lot longer and seen a lot longer than Vic Fangio. He cannot be an interference to his team's success. Caleb.
So do you think?
I don't know. Back to going along with your game management stuff. We all know how to do game management. It's not a complicated thing. So I don't know what the confusion is out there. And from my understanding is that the jobs aren't being secure. The offensive coordinator's not doing his job. Defensive coordinator's not doing his job. And obviously the head coach is not doing his job.
Could it just be a situation where there's so many injuries? I mean, every team, every year, there's always an injury bug that gets the team, and the team loses all these star players, and all these star players go on to IR. Is it just happened that this injury bug infected the Broncos this year in a wake of a season that they had such high hopes? I mean, is that just, you know, could it be that? Maybe the injury bug got them, and maybe next year that there should be more high hopes, and that, you know, Broncos should, Broncos fans should just push away the season, saying, like, hey, this season, let's try to get a high draft pick, you know, let's try not to get any of our more of our star players hurt. Let's try to get Jerry Judy, you know, see what he's worth, see what, you know, KJ Hamler's worth, see what Noah Fant can do.
Nah, this team was bad. So even with Von Miller.
Speaking with John Elway, see what he's going to do. Squirrel has some hot pressing news.
Today,
breaking news.
Jeff Legwell come out and said the Broncos have signed outside linebacker Derek Chizuka. They've signed running back Levante Bellamy, and they've also signed Timmy Jernigan.
Okay, problem solved. I take that entire segment back.
Defensive.
They're fine.
I don't think they're fine.
I think this team needs some help.
There you go. There's the injuries playing out. You're going out. You're having to bring
players in. Timmy Jernigan's the only one that actually even make a difference for this, if any.
which I don't think he will.
Right.
So signing these guys, you just really, you did nothing.
You're filling the roster because of injury.
I got it. You're filling roster spots.
Just like we talked about inside the huddle in the last show. We're bringing scrubs in,
mm-hmm.
yep. and here's some scrubs coming in just to fill the void.
But look at the 49ers, though. The 49ers are bringing scrubs in, yeah. and they're winning games. Yeah, is that a credit to John Lynch?
They have a coach that knows how to develop.
They have a GM that knows how to get players and back up
John Lynch. Yeah. Who doesn't want to play for John
Lynch?
We're
starting to hit it on the head. We're going back to the core that there's actually people responsible for Vic Fangio. It's not his fault. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready. He wasn't appropriate.
I put a lot of blame on John Elway.
So exactly.
I was about to say, John Elway's the worst general manager
in football right now. If not, you could put it all on John Elway.
Yeah, I mean,
he's made these decisions.
Heat.
He's the one who drafted. He makes the draft decisions. Yeah. Everyone says, oh, the coach did it. No. Those draft decisions come from the top.
And even think about this. He has not really had any great rapport with those draft picks. Peyton Manning landed in his lap. Other than that, he has not had any great moves as a general manager.
As a great NFL, and I'm not going to say, he was a great NFL quarterback, dude.
Mm-hmm.
How can top you 10. Not manage to find
Bingo,
a quarterback talent.
Bingo,
you
hit it.
Are one of the greatest to ever do it, and you can't find.
The two skills are not connected.
You can't even find someone to play the position that you were best at.
Well, usually
you can't
what happens
see
in coaching
talent.
Is wide receivers end up becoming defensive back coaches, and defensive backs become wide receiver coaches, because when you spend your whole entire game or your entire week game planning against the other one and, hey, their tendencies, you start to pick up their tendencies and
start
you
to pick
teach
up
it
at all.
Across,
this is
you know,
why Peyton Manning would be a great defensive coordinator.
Explains how John Lynch did well with his drafts the past 3 years with all defensive linemen and defense.
That's why that
figuring it out.
He knows what he's doing.
And mm-hmm. that's the difference between this Denver team and the Denver team that won the Super Bowl is obviously, yes, Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning's a game manager. He's one
of the best.
Yes, he had a wide receiver core. I wish Wes Welker stayed a little longer because he was a great slot receiver.
Yeah, he had a great wide receiving core in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
concussions cut that one down.
Also, let's be honest. The coaching staff on that team was a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mm-hmm. had the
– Tony?
You had – well, not only in Indianapolis, but in Denver. I mean, you had Gary Kubiak. You had Wade Phillips. And I actually don't know who the offensive coordinator was at the time. But you had the best defensive coordinator, in my opinion, in the NFL.
Hey, do you think it's time to bring John Fox back?
It would be a better option. I'm just – where I'm going with this is that – Vic Fangio doesn't know how to develop players. Yes, he's better on the defensive side of the ball, but he
he ridicules them. Yeah. He blasts them mm-hmm. every press conference after every practice.
Doesn't tell them anything they've done good. Just make sure he says everything that they didn't do well.
Oh, I see. We need coddling here, do we? Do we need to make Phil?
No.
Good?
No, not coddling, but you can't expect somebody to come out and play for you every day when you batter them.
That's the
makeup practice.
Of an old-school coach, though. I mean, he has that same makeup that Bill Belichick has. Where
and they
go
knew
out
that
there,
going
he
in.
He can
they?
Go and criticize
yeah,
his
but you
players,
do it in the locker room.
Have the
yeah, you do it. That's right. You do it in the locker room with a bunch of men, not out there on the press conference field where you're telling the whole country. You know, that's just not how you become a great NFL coach.
When you tell people last training camp last year when Von Miller was the worst linebacker out there for a while, I mean, he wanted to get traded right away. I mean, speaking of Colin, because he was like, oh, I want to get traded, I want to get out of here, but it made him better on the field. But I think they had more talks off the field.
Listen, people need to take a page from Bill Belichick's book. Yes. A man doesn't say anything to the press and he comes out and wins football games every weekend,
right?
Mm-hmm. We're on to Cincinnati.
Exactly.
They're probably
coming back more NFL. If you had your choice of four NFL quarterbacks, there's four to start the next 3 years with. We'll find out who's the one. Coming right back, Go Mile High.
Pretty young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Totally awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Hey, man, what's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah, I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Welcome back. Home stretch here on the press box. We got about 15 minutes left. We need to get into some deep, because there's some quarterback play out there right now that we've not seen it this good. I mean, it is hot, and it is filled with elite talent. Now, MVP last year was Lamar Jackson, and we saw him go right up against Pat Mahomes on Monday. That did not go well for him. You saw the difference between those two. They're not in the same ilk. Not a conversation.
If they were close in stature, it is very far now.
Exactly. People were on the fence. You're right. We separated that, and it's going
to
be running.
Yeah, if you were on the fence, you've seen what pressure does to a man.
Well, and I think you know what you like. Do you like somebody who just can get you a ball anywhere, anytime, like Pat Mahomes? Or do you like a guy who is going to ad-lib his way down the field? That's just not the
I want to break one play down for you. I don't know.
Well, let's do this. Let's just wait there for a second
okay,
here.
Okay.
Because what we'll do is set up this segment, because you've got all these choices in here. Of quarterbacks. Now, I'm suggesting for the next 3 years, there's only 4 quarterbacks you would pick that said, okay, we can build around and go win right now with them. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, the great Pat Mahomes, and Josh Allen. I am sneaking in that list of young, big, hot, making success right now, leading a team. Now, they sort of got bailed out to keep this undefeated record, right? We had another NFL game decided by an official.
Disgusting.
Who has got his hand. I mean, this is how you know. He's ready to go. He's ready to be on TV. He wants to be the star. That's what they're doing, right? And he's decided. We saw it in week one. The Dallas pass eye that changed that game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So memo to the NFL. Please don't make us sit through 3.5 hours and then watch a PI change the entire game. They did it against Green Bay and New Orleans, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing this happen. But I want to get into these quarterbacks. Now, Squirrel, tell me, you have 3 years. You have one quarterback to choose, and you have to win now. Who right now are you taking to lead you?
I'm a very young quarterback guy, and to build around, that's what you need. You need young. You need someone who is talented at a young age that can get it done. And I'm going to go with my man in Buffalo, dude. Josh Allen is a talent of a man. Coming from a small school, not too small, but not a top D1 college, you know.
No, they're a D1 college. They're just
not a top D1 okay. college.
You said not a
not a top D1 college for football as we know in Wyoming. But what he is doing as a third year man in Buffalo, I haven't seen too many.
Now, second leading passer in the NFL.
Yep.
Off to a hot start and an undefeated team.
3 games in a row of 4 TDs.
Okay.
Two of those games
of 300 plus yards.
2 of those games with no picks.
And for the first time ever, he is completing over 60% of his passes.
2 of those games, he had rushing touchdowns also. Now,
you talk about with a 6'5", 240 frame,
You got to think about that. This man's mobile. He's able to get out. He's able to move. At 6'5", you can barrel people over if you need to.
Yeah, that's
bro.
A fair choice, and I think you're not going to regret that decision.
No, I wouldn't either. For the next 3 years, with an offense and a defense that they have right now sitting there, I would do all kinds of stuff with Josh Allen as my quarterback under center.
Very fair. Josh Allen ascending to a franchise starter. Carlos, who are you going to keep with?
I'm actually going to say Tyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, the young Cardinal. And the very shortest quarterback in the NFL.
Which I'm actually upset I just didn't pick that because Kyler Murray is absolutely talented.
Well, and go ahead. Tell us why.
And the reason why is, you know, the quarterbacks you mentioned, you know, Russell Wilson, yes, he'll be there for the next 5 or 6 years. Aaron Rodgers, 3 more years.
You got to win now.
So that's what Cardinals are doing it. Okay. They went out and picked up DeAndre Hopkins to help him out.
A lot of weapons. Now, here, I'll just stop you there. Kenyon Drake. Matt Patricia, this is the Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia-led team, came into Arizona and really confused and disturbed young Kyler Murray. That's a concern to me. That's a defense in Detroit that lays down and gets ridden all over. Mm-hmm. And he was 3 picks, and he was bad, and they lost that game. That would be a concern on a
2 of those picks were overthrows.
I think you got to give him a little bit because it's a second season.
Not a problem.
Right. You get better.
You got 3 years to do it.
That's what I mean. This is his second year. Mm-hmm. So you got 3 more years to go, and they're already contending in the NFC West.
So two young guys.
He's already there in the team, and the confidence of the whole team. I mean, the whole Cardinal organization.
They're confident in him.
Right. The whole organization, they thought they were going to have a couple other quarterbacks that they had in years past, and they just blew up.
Listen, 3 years ago, the Cardinals, Josh Rosen. Yeah. 3 years ago, the Cardinals were looking like, Browns for the last 10 years. That's what they were looking forward to.
Before we put them in any kind of conference championship play, I just want to reiterate the point that Arizona, the Cardinals, hosted the Detroit Lions on Sunday, the Matt Patricia line, and they lost that game at home. So
hosted San Francisco Super Bowl runners-up the game before.
And they beat them.
First game, 24-20.
Yeah. So there's still... There's to be determined. How about that? Okay, fair enough. I like young players, young picks, projecting them high.
You're going the old man.
Well, I'm going right here to Caleb. Do you have a quarterback for us? Now, this is going to start right now. You got 3 years with him. You got to win. Who is it?
All right, so my pick several years ago, if we did this last year or 2 years ago, would have easily been Drew Brees. By far, I would have said he's my guy. He's my guy that I'm going to build around. But at this point, he's got this. Many are saying this is his last year. If not, next year will be his last year. So I had to look through the rosters and see who I like next. My next bet, and this is just a little far-fetched, and he's playing for the wrong team to win a championship, but I like Joe Burrow.
I like it.
I'm looking at his stats right now.
I think you could easily build stuff around him, right now.
Obviously, I believe if he was playing on a more contending team, he would be doing better. You know, a New England-based team or even a Saints-built team, I think he would have the better stats. But even right now, playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, he's got 5 touchdowns and only 1 interception. That says a lot for a team that's in the disaster
zone. I think the biggest thing Joe Burrow is going to miss is being able to sit under a starting NFL quarterback and learn. It makes a big difference.
You saw him be a nobody, go to LSU, mainstream spotlight, and dominate, run over everybody. You've seen him 3 games into an NFL career. There's no fear. What on earth would you do?
He ran for a touchdown his very first game. How many rookie quarterbacks run out of the pocket their very first year? Very few.
You know who you put on the bench and let watch? Jordan Love up in Green Bay, who is a project. Yeah. Joe Burrow is no project. Joe Burrow is the real deal. He's arrived, okay? But you guys made it so easy for me because the answer is very simple. It's Pat Mahomes. Monday night. Now, let's just break down what Pat Mahomes has done.
How are you going to build a team around him? You ain't got no more money.
Well, again, this is...
You gave them $500 billion.
This is the Wisconsin princesses, and you're just getting to select a quarterback. It doesn't matter. But the thing is you're going to spend a ton of money on all these quarterbacks. The reason Jerry Jones didn't say, here's $50 million,
because he's not worth it. He's not worth it, dude.
Very good. But the point is he's going to have a lot of skills around him. Boy, does he need a lot of talent around him, Dak Prescott, to
he's
be good.
He's got it, though, dude.
So when you, but they have not paid Dak Prescott, so that's the hesitation. You can't load him up as the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL and then say, we're going to get you the best tight end, the best receiver, and we're going to pack your defense. It's just not going to happen.
Jerry Jones did all that before.
No, they did not take care of their defense because they didn't know what was going to happen
with Dak
Prescott.
Jerry Jones is doing all that now, just trying to take care of things, getting the offense together.
Well, he brought in the coach, okay, and he's going to wait.
Well,
and
at least
see
he got
deck.
The offense. The defense, that defense is in shambles.
Because they got rid of Byron Jones. They got rid of half of them last year.
The problem
year,
was they didn't know what they were going to do with Dak, right?
And so I think needed to make
away,
money.
Well, it took away what they could spend on the defense because they didn't know if they were going to go get him, and now you're stuck with Dak having to carry the team. Now, Dak is a top 10 guy.
$50
million
in a salary cap is a
also,
big Gerald difference.
McCoy, we forgot about this. Gerald McCoy got hurt before the season even started, so that's their big marquee free agency signing, and he gets hurt, you know. Yeah. That pass rush takes a little bit of a toll. You don't think that they're going to get some more
sold,
of a pass rush?
They sold, I think, probably the second or best cornerback in the league in Byron Jones to Miami. Mm-hmm. So there went their secondary.
Yeah. Well, but they are faced with the idea
well,
once
Trayvon
again.
Trayvon Diggs is decent. He's a decent player.
So, but your question was, you're going to build a build a team around a quarterback, and I think Kansas City already has it there offensively.
Mm-hmm. No, that's why the answer is so simple.
They're going to go to the Super Bowl probably three more times than in the next 5 to 6 years.
He's going to win 4 to 5 in his next 10.
Yeah.
I just want to say pump the brakes on that just because I feel like, you know, I just have a lot of Dan Marino, like, hints in this. Dan Marino started off to his career, great start, you know, went to the Super Bowl, won the MVP.
But he didn't win
the Super Bowl. I know he didn't win, but you also got to remember that, you know, Andy Reid is this offensive-minded guru, and look at all these weapons that Patrick Mahomes has had. You know,
he's not going to have all those for 10 years.
Here's the thing. I just want to say, like, if Patrick Mahomes went to the situation where he got drafted to the Bears, would he be as good? And if Mitchell Trubisky went to the
the talent that he has, he's going to be that good no matter where he goes. But it's the games. Is he going to win? What's his record going to be in Chicago, you know?
All right, I'm going to bounce off what you said about being at very many Super Bowl appearances. But the big difference will be is who in the NFC is going to have the better defense. Because I believe
– Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. whoever can come out there and scheme a defensive game plan against – Patrick Mahomes.
You've seen it. It's the San Diego blueprint. It's the San Francisco blueprint because they're built that front four gives them all kinds of fits. Okay. Uh-huh. So one thing Pat doesn't like, and he does a lot of things well, he doesn't like all that traffic down at his feet. He likes to get at least outside the pocket or to get to that second and third read. Okay. Now right now he mows through teams that lay back and let him pick and choose.
You stopped me earlier. And I was going to break down a play that just shows you how much Patrick Mahomes knows the game. The other night, I don't know if you guys watched the Baltimore and Kansas City game, there was a deep ball touchdown to Mecole Hardman. It was the first deep ball touchdown. Now, if you watched, Patrick Mahomes came out of the snap.
12 yards.
And he ran.
Rolled hard left.
Way out for about 5 seconds to let Mecole Hardman get the distance. Mm-hmm. Now,
12
and
yards.
And they put it on the money.
On the money. I mean, movement on the money. No problem. Mecole Hardman ran into it. So when you have such a talent in like that, to say, what's he going to be like on
but
a different
that
team?
But that play that Mecole did, you know, Marcus Peters jumped on that dagger route and left the post wide open. Marcus Peters was the deep third on that play.
It's still the point that Patrick Mahomes made the effort to jump 12 yards at a diagonal angle off the snap of the ball to give him an extra 10 yards.
I'd go deeper than that. That's the skill set of Pat Mahomes, but isn't that Andy, Big Andy, the big old whale, and Eric Bieniemy. I mean, they are play calling him to get the most out of his skill set, and that's why they can run a play like that. I'm not sure anybody else on this list can do that with confidence of
and
their coach.
I will say this to the Ravens' credit, or to the Ravens' discredit, is Marcus Peters, yes, he could get away with that against a quarterback that's average, but Patrick Mahomes is not sub-average. He's going to see that and see that you jumped on that dagger out as a deep third and left the middle wide open, and he's going to catch that post, and you're going to be seeing Mecole Hardman dance in the end zone.
So, Andy Reid, so you're getting back to building this team. Andy Reid will probably retire in 2 years and would be there.
You think he's going to retire in 2 years?
He might be
the quarterback of his dreams.
Before he goes there, you know, Andy Reid.
Andy Reid's not going to retire until Mahomes is done.
This was still in Philadelphia, but his son died of a heroin overdose, and he's coaching the next. I think this guy will die as a coach. But go ahead, tell me.
No, because he's of his faith, his Mormon faith, and of his family, his wife.
She had enough.
I think she's going to be like, come on, Andy.
Yeah. That reminds me of Bruce Arians' wife. Like, are we doing this again?
Is it Mormon? He's Mormon? I didn't know that.
Yeah. From Utah. Well, he coached at BYU.
Well, isn't that Eric Bieniemy's job? If he's still available, doesn't it just transition right to him and take over for Andy if he does?
Yeah, but honestly, dude, the mind of Andy Reid.
That's inside Eric Bieniemy now.
No, it's not.
Go ask anybody.
Guarantee
in
you
the
watch
NFL.
The first game Andy Reid doesn't coach. Watch how different it looks.
Well, of course, because that's daddy's home, right? When daddy's home, it's different. Well, he'll be
too. He did it in Philly.
What's the difference?
It's a great coach.
The play calling.
Andy Reid is a great coach, and what a great coach
he is.
It's the play calling where the plays need to be and when they're
called. Are you suggesting that Eric Bieniemy doesn't have any access to those plays and every single
night?
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but
what's
Marty,
the problem?
Doug Peterson had the access to those plays.
And look, he's not doing it.
Well,
it's the time to call it, when to call it, who to run in the plays. You can run the plays all day.
There's a big difference between Carson Wentz and Pat Mahomes. I hope everybody's on the record as knowing that.
I got that. But the plays are the same.
Right. Well, I mean, let's not.
Somebody got Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Has benefited from being under the tutelage of Andy Reid. I would say if you're his number one guy, Eric Bieniemy, you've had access to that mind for this many years. I think you're in a pretty good spot.
I'm
going to
say
that.
It's about the same as when Chip Kelly was at Oregon. Everybody looked good, dude. It didn't matter if he had a 10-year-old. They were going to look amazing in those green and yellow uniforms playing football because that's the way he played.
He blew up the green and white.
Blew him up all the time. Didn't matter. Mariota, Herbert, it doesn't matter. He
until
made
they,
the offense.
Until they played a real defense.
That's it.
And then they got beat.
Well, but
that's
those styles are nothing
going to happen to
those
Patrick
styles
Mahomes.
Aren't even close. I mean, Chip Kelly's Oregon offense and what Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes do in the NFL, those are not even the same conversation.
I
want to
see what Patrick Mahomes would do against, say, Pittsburgh's defense.
Okay. I think if anybody's doubting Patrick Mahomes beyond the dismantling of the Ravens, then you just don't like him because he set himself apart from the league. And Aaron Rodgers is sniffing his tail.
I will say, Baltimore's offense is not –
That's Lamar,
Kansas
though.
Kansas City's offense. But you got Lamar. And
that's Lamar's problem.
And Malcolm Brown and Hollywood and Mark Ingram. That's your offense. Okay,
that's plenty.
Mark Andrews, my fault. I forgot to mention the big man.
That's plenty.
But Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, CEH.
The rookie's been fantastic.
And to put Patty on top of that. You got to be kidding me, bro. That's an offense you honestly – I mean, look, if you put
can't
up –
call him Patty. You have to say
oh,
Patty.
Yeah, his mom was getting very, very upset.
Right. Like that.
Right. Sorry.
Let's not get into it.
Let's just call him a homeboy. I like my
homeboy. My homeboy.
Like my homeboy.
Until we get in trouble with that one, too.
Well, he's a stud, and we're envious. Obviously, we don't have that same conversation here in Denver. Now – we got a lot to look forward to. We've got tonight the finals. We've got Broncos tomorrow. Predictions on that game real quick. Give me a score, Caleb. Broncos Jet tomorrow.
Low scoring. I'm going to go 17-10 Jets.
2017 Broncos.
Ooh, like that. Carlos, give me it.
15-10 Broncos.
Oh, my gosh. We're going 15-10. I'll tell you what. It's going to go a tie. We're going to replicate what they did in Cincinnati and Philly. It's going to be a 0-0 tie for the first time ever.
Oh, come on. Those teams aren't that bad.
Loss.
Because the Jets average 12 points a game.
One's 12, one's 15. Yeah,
and one's 15. So bet the under.
You bet the under.
Definitely.
Don't fall asleep.
The under's
20. It's been a blast. Folks, this has been Go Mile High live from the campus, Colorado Media School. My friends, Caleb, Squirrel, Carlos, it's my work. Have a good one.
Peace.